Amen. Wonderful to have you here. I believe we're going to have a great session again tonight. We are actually going to continue to talk about rediscovering missional church. So that was our session last week, and tonight will be part two of that. And missional church is not just talking about missions or mission trips or being a missionary. It's just talking about being outwardly focused and having a heart for people and a heart to reach out to people with the gospel. And last week we ended with the gifts, and we talked about the fivefold ministry gifts, the five ministry gifts that Jesus has given to the church to enable to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And we are just going to briefly look at some of the different types of gifts in the Bible, what the purpose is for the different types of gifts, because for a church to be missional and healthy, each member needs to flow and operate in the gifts that God has given them. Either personally or collectively as a body, we need to flow in the gifts that He has given us, and those gifts are given to us in order to be a blessing and in order to reach people. So the five ministry gifts, they are found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13. And I'm just going to read that passage of Scripture again, and I'm going to read out of the New King James. And it says from verse 11, "And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." So the five ministry gifts that we find in the Bible is the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. And what is the purpose for these five ministry gifts? Anyone? It's to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So I just want to emphatically state, I don't know if I was clear on it last week, but not everyone is called to one of these fivefold ministry gifts. In fact, I believe God, I don't want to say few, but God calls some people to be in one of the fivefold. So not everyone is even one of these categories or has received one of these gifts or is called to operate in one of these gifts. But that doesn't mean you are less important. Because the wonderful truth is, under the new covenant, we all have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. I believe we are all actually called to full-time ministry, whatever our calling is, our individual calling is, even if it's in business or in a secular area, but we are all called to full-time ministry, but we are not all called to be in the fivefold ministry. But the purpose for the fivefold is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And that doesn't make them more important, or we shouldn't put them on a pedestal, but it's also important to recognize that not everyone is called to be in one of the fivefold ministry gifts. Sometimes people would like to be in one of them, or they think it sounds cool to be an apostle. It sounds very important, but these gifts come directly from God. So we can't put a gift on you or tell you need to operate in this gift because this is needed, and we lay hands on you, and now we say you're an apostle. These gifts need to come directly from God. And if someone is called into one of his fivefold ministry offices, I believe it will be clear and evident in the person's life. It still needs to be developed, and the person will grow in it. But not everyone is called into one of his fivefold ministry gifts, but the purpose for it is to equip the rest of the body to do the work of a ministry. So that's the beauty under the new covenant, is it's not just the fivefold ministry people that will do all the ministry work. Every saint, every believer needs to do the work of a ministry. God has just graced some people to flow in some of His fivefold ministry gifts in order to equip and train people in order to do the work of a ministry effectively. So I hope that makes sense. It's important that we need the fivefold in churches and in ministries and in order to be missional and effective and healthy. But not everyone is called into one of His fivefold ministry gifts. So even at Growth Track 2, what we do is we talk about these different type of gifts, but then the assessment is always on the motivational gift, because we don't want people to go around thinking they're an apostle or a prophet, and then they might not be. So, and we'll get to the motivational gifts now too, but it's just interesting to note that some of the motivational gifts, for example, there's teaching, there's evangelism, there's prophecy, but even if you've received that as a motivational gift, it doesn't mean that you're called into one of the fivefold ministry gifts necessarily. It might just mean God wants to use you in teaching or in prophesying as a motivational gift. But these are the fivefold ministry gifts, and the Bible calls them the ministry gifts, are to equip the saints for the work of a ministry. And then the second type of gifts we see in the Bible is called the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They are found in 1 Corinthians 12 from verse 7 to 10. And they are called the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And there's 9 of them. They are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues, gift of faith, gifts of healings, and working of miracles. And I believe God wants to use each and every believer in these gifts of the Holy Spirit. I believe if you baptize in the Holy Spirit, you will operate and flow in them to a greater degree and to a greater measure. But it doesn't mean if you're not called, into one of the fivefold ministry gifts that you can't operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. God wants every believer to flow in them and to expect them. And I believe the key to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit is really to expect them and to desire them. The Bible even tells us to earnestly covet. That means to earnestly desire the gifts of the Spirit. So God wants to use all of us in these gifts. And I believe Julian Adams operated in them wonderfully this past weekend in a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, prophesying over people. And God wants to use us in these gifts too. And the purpose for these gifts is to strengthen the church and also to use as a dinner bell for the gospel when we minister to the lost. Many times when you have a word of knowledge for someone that doesn't know Jesus yet, you just get their attention. When you tell them something that they know that there was no way for you to know that in the natural, and it was revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. So God uses it even when we go out and we minister to the lost too, but we need the gifts of the Holy Spirit in order to be missional and be a healthy church too, and be healthy individuals when it comes to reaching people. And then the next pair of gifts is called the motivational gifts. They are found in Romans chapter 12 from verse 3 to 8. And the motivational gifts, I believe, we receive at birth. So God gives the motivational gifts when someone is born. I believe we can even see unbelievers with some of the motivational gifts. Because the motivational gifts doesn't come when we get saved. They come when we are actually born. And I believe when we get saved and we start to follow Jesus, we will operate in a greater way in these gifts. But they come at birth and God gives it to everyone, and we'll talk about the purpose for them now. But the 7 motivational gifts are perceiver, that is to prophesy to, it's serving or helps, it's teaching, encouragement, administration, giving, and then mercy and compassion. So these gifts are just as important as some of the ministry gifts, for example, or even the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and they help us too in order to be a blessing and to reach people. And 1 Peter 4 verse 10 says, God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. And it's talking about the motivational gifts here. So everyone has received a motivational gift from God. And then it goes on to say, use them well to serve one another. So these gifts aren't given to us to use as trophies or to just make us look good. They are given to us to serve one another and to be a blessing to people and for people to experience the love of God through these a wonderful motivational gift. And also, it doesn't mean if you haven't received the gift of giving that you shouldn't give. Or if you're not particularly gifted with serving or helping that you shouldn't serve. That's not what it's saying either. It's just saying, it will become clear where your strength lies. And sometimes, some people are just amazing in being compassionate or being encouraging to others. And we all should be encouraging to others. We should encourage one another. We should be compassionate to one another, but some people it just comes naturally and they flow in wonderful ways in these gifts. But the motivational gifts are given to every person too, and it's also, I believe, a purpose for it is to be a blessing and to reach people with them, but also to help us fulfill the calling that God has given us and to operate strongly in the wonderful purpose that He has for us. But I'm going to give you some time now to just discuss this, and I want you just to discuss it in pairs of 2 or 3. So it doesn't have to be a whole group, but maybe just in pairs of 2 or 3, I want you to discuss with the people or with a person what you think your motivational gift is. And if you think you are gifted in more than one, and usually we are gifted in more than one, just share some of the motivational gifts that you believe you operate in and that God has gifted you with and primarily to operate in. Again, you can operate in prophesying even if it's not a special gift that God has given you, but share some of the motivational gifts that you believe God has distinctively graced you with. So I'm going to give you some time to discuss that now. So it's a discussion on the motivational gifts, the last type of gifts we've just talked about. I'm going to give you one more minute. Wonderful. I hope you had a good discussion of our motivational gifts. And even if you are not sure what yours are or in which ones you need to flow in, that's okay. It will become clear as you just do what God has called you to do too, and as you follow Him. And you know, I just like to say again that we talked about the different types of gifts in the Bible, because in order to be missional and reaching people effectively, it's so important that we collectively as a local church flow in the gifts that God has given us. These gifts aren't given to us to use as trophies again or to make us look good. It's really just to be effective in reaching people, in ministering to them, and loving on people. So we need to flow in the gifts that God has given us in order to be missional and effective when it comes to reaching people. So we're talking about being a missional church. And when we talk about a missional church, we are not only talking about the following. So a missional church is not all about only mission work across cultural barriers. It includes that, but it's not the only thing that there is to a missional church. It's also not only simply about doing short-term outreaches. It's important, it's a part of it. We will probably do a short-term mission trip later this year, but that is not what a missional church is in its simplest terms. It's also not a new name for church growth and effectiveness, neither a label for churches with a good strategic plan and clear mission statements alone. It's also not to help old and mainline churches to become relevant and contemporary. It's also not the discovery of old truths that helped the church in the first 3 centuries, and also not another word for emerging churches. It's simply being outwardly focused and having a heart to reach people and allowing God to use us and to flow through us as we reach people. So we are going to read together now out of Luke chapter 10 from verse 1 to 20. And you are going to discuss this in your groups too, but I will read it. And then you are welcome to read it together too, or just look at it again in your groups. But I will read it now, and if you have your Bible with you or device, please follow along. We're going to read from verse 1 to verse 20 out of Luke chapter 10. And this is when Jesus was sending 70 disciples out. So it was not only the 12, but 70 others also. And from verse 1 out of Luke chapter 10, it says, "After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them 2 by 2 before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, 'The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, 'The very dust of your city which clings to us, we wipe off against you.' Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. But I say to you that it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. He who hears you, hears me. He who rejects you, rejects me. And he who rejects me, rejects him who sent me." Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." So I'm going to just give you some time now to discuss that too, even if you want to just look at it again or scan through it. But just discuss what stood out for you and what you think it says to us, or what will help us in reaching people from that passage. and just whatever stood out for you. So I'm going to give you some time now, scan through it again, and it doesn't matter what verse stood out for you, but just have a discussion on it and share what stood out for you. Yes, the whole group. Your whole group. The whole group, yeah. Discussion in the whole group. Awesome. I hope you had some good discussions. So I would like every group to give some feedback now. So can we maybe start on that side? Please, Alexa. So we can start with that group there and then we can go right through. Just what stood out for you from that passage?
Testing. Okay. Yana, what do you want?
What stood out for you from that passage that you just discussed?
That the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. And that as far as the 70 was concerned, that means ordinary church people. They were not evangelists. They weren't pastors and preachers and that. And so that we can all reach out. And I just shared my testimony how an ordinary housewife led me to the Lord. She was a housewife with three children. She was just part of the church. It wasn't even any great ministry. And I was busy trying to kill myself, committing suicide. But she told me that Jesus loved me. Sure. And that's why I'm sitting here tonight. So the encouragement that I have to the church is that ordinary church people can tell a stranger or a family member that Jesus loves them, and that could save them.
Amen. Very good. Amen. Very good. Then we can go to the next group.
Praise the Lord. I'm Gideon. Good evening. Yes, I'm wearing one. Verse 4. That says, don't worry about carrying your bag and everything. Just when you are willing to go and witness about the goodness of the Lord, don't look at yourself. He will provide on the journey. And he sent them two by two so that when you are weak, your brother can encourage you on the journey. And then there in verse 17, when they were so happy and glad that even demons submit to them, he said, I saw the devil falling down from heaven. So we've got authority in ourselves because of Jesus. And then verse 20, he said, nevertheless, don't just rejoice because of any other thing, but rejoice because your names are written in the book of life.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Amen. Then we can go to this group and work all the way back. The group in the front. Yeah, thank you, Alexa.
With a clipboard and go to each house and say, if we started a church here, how many children would come? And this one house we came to, the music was going and was obviously they were drinking and a party was happening. There were cars all over. But being children, we thought, no, we were told to do this. We'll go knock on the door. We knocked on the door and Mr. Thompson came to the door and he said, I'm too busy now, but I have got three children who would come. And in fact, when you're ready, I will put up a structure in my garden for you. And that was, you know, just being obedient.
Amen. Amen.
To do, yeah.
Thank you, Auntie Joyce. Amen. And we can go to the next group. Okay, we'll do a battery change quickly. You don't want to add anything?
What are we going to change?
They've covered. Everybody's covered what we've discussed.
Okay, that's fine. Then we can go to the next group. Maybe they've got something else they'd like to share.
I think what stuck out for us, well, obviously what everybody else has discussed, but one of the aspects that we were talking about was when Jesus said he saw the demons falling like lightning from heaven, I know from personal experience that is very often we need to realize that is the power with which God works, and that power is what it does. And we have that power within us and the authority to speak it. That was that part. The other side was, you know, he said to dust your feet and move on in that scripture verse, you know, if you're not received. And so often we get quite evangelistic about sharing the word with everybody and everybody must hear. And actually we should say, okay, that person doesn't want to receive at this point in time. And we should actually just dust and move on. God's got a separate time and a different place for that person. He hasn't given up on them.
Amen.
And that his word would accomplish what it set out to do anyway.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen. Thank you. Next group, do you have something you'd like to share? Settle.
Thank you. What we discuss in this verse is, I want to take it from chapter 9. As I pick up there, there was a discussion and a teaching with the disciples. So as we come into chapter 10, it is where Jesus he actually select these disciples, and he know that he was loaded them with word. He teach them. So now he send them out. And by that these disciples know that whatever now might come on their way, we have to do what we have been taught by our teacher. And as we read in this chapter 10, that even when they come to where they said that, I just want to go there. Just bear with me. My eyes is very... where they came back and they said that even the demons were like obeying them.
Yes.
So it says to me that they were loaded with word from their master. And for us, that is, if we read the word, that, I mean, the word is that Jesus giving the word for us. So if you read the word and study the word, that becomes so powerful in us, so that we can do what he has taught us in the word to do the work of what he said we must do. Thank Amen. You.
Thank you. Okay, we can go to the groups on this side quickly.
Thank you. We've seemed to touch mostly on the same sort of points. The importance of not going it alone, going it with support of one or two or three or more, and also the need to have a strategy in mind, planning, and the administration gifts would come into that. Not being easily offended if someone does not accept you on your first attempt. And not to take it as a personal slight against you. And I think that importance of shaking it off and moving on. And who knows, the seed that you planted might still germinate in a little while. And I think what Jesus said, that the importance was that not all the fancy and mighty things that you achieved, but that your names were written in his book. Where was that? Verse what?
That's verse 20.
Verse 20, yeah. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Okay, we can go to this group.
So, most of the things that we've discussed have already been discussed, but there's one thing left that really caught our attention, and that is, if you go into a house, speak peace over the people, and it made us think of shalom. There's so much power in the words that we speak. So to just remember to speak shalom, that also already sets the tone, and you are actually declaring peace over that house.
Amen. Thank you. The last group.
Okay. I think just about everything's been touched on in some way or another. I just want to add on to what Elsa said, because that's a point that I thought I'll also mention, that the demons submit to us, and we say that we have the authority to actually change the atmosphere. So wherever we go, whether we go to Pick and Pay, or Cecily mentioned with the riots that we had today, we can speak peace over Plate, we can speak peace wherever, and we need to understand that, the authority that we have to change the atmosphere. And I think at the end of the day, we said everything boils down to the authority that we have. So that to us was the whole crux of the whole verse, or that scripture reference.
Amen. Okay, thank you. You all shared some very good stuff. And I would just like to say, you know, that when it comes to evangelizing and sharing with people, it's not only going out and talking with them, or always going out and just witnessing. It's just being intentional, like Pastor Steve shared last week. Sometimes it's just being intentional in praying for people, when praying for missionaries or people, for churches specifically, in reaching people as well. Sorry.
I just had a correction, Yanni. There's no ordinary housewives or people. Only extraordinary.
Amen. That's a good correction. Amen. So it's just being intentional, you know, in loving people and praying for people. And even, I think some of you touched on it too, but when you've ministered to someone or you have someone in your heart that doesn't know Jesus yet and you've shared with them and they don't want to listen to you or they haven't received what you shared with them, continue to pray for them. And you know, the seed has been planted in their hearts. And what I do many times, I pray that God will send laborers across their paths that they will listen to. Because sometimes they don't listen to me, but God knows who to send to them at the right time. And he's been so faithful. I actually have wonderful testimonies how God sent people to people that I've prayed for, and how he's just been so faithful in sending the right laborers across their paths to share Jesus with them and to minister to them. So just be intentional in praying for people and loving on them and just witnessing to them when the Holy Spirit leads you to do that. But we are just briefly going to talk about some characteristics of a missional and a healthy church now. And the first characteristic of a healthy church is a passion for souls. And that means to have a heart for the lost. Daniel Kulenda, he's an evangelist, so he might be a bit biased, but he said that you can measure how strong your relationship with God is by your passion to reach the lost. And it's also, when it comes to a passion for souls, it's also to have a passion to disciple believers. Peter Vandenberg, he works for that same ministry. He's the vice president of Christ for All Nations. He worked for Reinhard Bonnke for a long time. Now he works with Daniel Kulenda. He said, true biblical evangelism always leads to discipleship and into the local church. So they have a very strong evangelistic ministry, but they invest a lot in helping people after they receive Jesus, even in just sending them messages to go to churches or to link them up with churches after they've ministered to them or after the people get saved. So God might use you to just get someone saved, but discipleship is so important. And in the Bible, discipleship is always the goal. And Jesus didn't say, just go out and make converts. He said, go and make disciples. And that is the great commission for us as the universal church. And when it comes to a passion for souls, we need to understand that God has authorized us as the body, us as human beings, to preach and minister to people. And there's a wonderful story in Acts chapter 10 about the house of Cornelius. Cornelius and his household were Gentiles. That means they were non-Jews. And God sent Peter to them to share the gospel with them and to tell them about Jesus. And at the time, no non-Jew has actually received Jesus as Lord and Savior or got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And an angel appeared to Cornelius and said that God was going to send someone to preach the gospel to them. And it's interesting to note that the angel didn't preach the gospel. God sent Peter to do it because God has authorized and graced us as human beings to share the gospel. And God needs his body in order to reach people. You know, the Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But if we don't pray for people, if we don't share Jesus with them, if we don't reach out to them, they are not going to get saved. God might appear to them in dreams, he might convict them, but he still needs us to share Jesus with him. Andrew Womack tells the story of how he was going to minister at a business seminar, and there was a lady that worked for a specific business there, and she was a Buddhist. And the night before that seminar or conference, she did her Buddhistic rituals, and she said to God, God, I know you're real. I know you must be out there, but I just can't believe that this is it. And she just didn't feel fulfilled through all of her rituals and being a Buddhist for many years. And she just said, God, show me who you really are. And she said she saw a vision of this light. And in this light, she heard a voice say, tomorrow I'm going to send a man to you to tell you who I am. And the next day, Andrew Womack was at the seminar, and the Buddhist girl went up to him and said, who are you? And he said, I'm a minister. And she asked him, a minister of who? And he said, a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she looked at him and said, you're the man. And she knew that Jesus was the Son of God. So it's just so beautiful how God still uses us. He doesn't have to, but he desires to use us in reaching people and to tell the world about Jesus. And we need to be intentional in reaching out. And as we get closer to God in our fellowship to and our relationship with him, the more our heart will be for the lost and to reach out to people. And then the second characteristic of a healthy church is a passion for God's word. And it's not only to be hearers of the word, but to live the word and to make the word of God final authority in our lives as a church. And the next one is a passion for the Holy Spirit. That includes to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit is also not just for Sundays. They are for everyday life. They are for when you go to Pick and Pay to do your shopping. They are when you meet someone on the golf course. They are for wherever, because the Holy Spirit lives in us. He doesn't live in this building. He lives on the inside of us. And we can operate in his gifts all the time. but we need to desire it too and expect to flow in the gifts. It also means to pray in the Spirit, to have a passion to pray in the Spirit, and to be led by the Spirit, to hear God's voice, and to earnestly desire it too. What a wonderful privilege. I was just thinking about it this past weekend. Praise God for Julian Adams and how accurately he hears God and how accurately he prophesies. But, you know, under the old covenant, the prophet was the only one that heard from God. And people would go to the prophet to hear what God was saying. Under the new covenant, we are all being led by the Holy Spirit. And God wants to lead all of us. And he was prophesying over me too this past weekend. And most of it, I felt, was just confirmation of what God has already spoken to my heart. And it's such a beautiful privilege that we have under the new covenant, that we can go to God directly and hear from him. And every minister or every ministry or every church that I believe is fruitful and effective hears God. And I can say that from Pastor Steve and Mama D too, how they hear from God and how they go to God and seek him about what his will is, what his purpose is for us as a church and for our town and for our nation. And I believe that is why we are so fruitful too in reaching people and being effective and changing this town. So as a church, we need to desire to be led by the Holy Spirit too, and to hear from God accurately. The next characteristic is to have a passion for worship. To have a passion for worshiping God, for magnifying him and praising him. And also where it becomes a lifestyle of worship. And I believe that is a key characteristic of a healthy church and of healthy believers. And the last characteristic, and this is not a comprehensive list, but just the last characteristic is a passion for God's kingdom. And I'm putting it there, a passion for God's kingdom, because if we only have a passion for our own church or for our own home group, something is wrong. That is not a characteristic of a healthy church or of a healthy believer. We need to have a passion for God's kingdom in loving other churches too, in loving other believers, other groups too, even loving some sandpaper people, as tough as that can be sometimes. But we need to have a passion to see God's kingdom advancing, not just our own group or our own church, but to advance the kingdom of God. And then just some biblical beliefs and values of a healthy missional church is, first of all, it's a focus on the triune God, that is just on the Trinity, and it's the essence or purpose of a missional church is to glorify, please, and love God the Father, His Son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit for who God is. And then the incarnational, it's just talking about how Jesus became human, and we believe in that. So God the Father sent Jesus Christ to this earth to live amongst us while we were still sinners. Christ died and rose again and pours out his Spirit on all believers to empower us to live Spirit-filled lives. That is why he said in John chapter 20, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. Missional followers of Christ know that they have been called by Christ like disciples. And in Mark chapter 3, Jesus appointed them that they may be with him and that he might send them out. A missional follower will know that they are being sent to follow in Jesus' footsteps, to go to the lost, the sick, the poor, the hopeless, and to reach people. And then transformational needs to be a core value of a missional healthy church. And throughout the scriptures, since Genesis chapter 3, from the beginning, we see that it is clear that God's love and salvation for people transforms and changes people's lives. So that is the beauty of grace. You know, we are saved by God's grace. We can't earn it. We can't work for it. It's all based on his mercy and what Jesus did for us. But when we receive him too, and as we follow him and grow in our relationship too, we get transformed too. And I'm going to read you now what the Bible says about grace. And this is not my opinion. This is the Apostle Paul's opinion as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit. He said in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 12, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age." So God loves us unconditionally, even when we sin or we make a mess, he still loves us. But this verse is teaching that the grace of God teaches us to live holy too and to be transformed as we follow Jesus. So God also doesn't even expect us to live holy in our own effort, because you'll always be frustrated and you're always going to fail. But his grace not only saves us, it also empowers us to live for him and to be transformed. And then the next one, and that is a big passion of mine, it's disciple making. So mission followers of Christ understand themselves to be disciples and disciple makers first and foremost. So the Great Commission is not just given to the fivefold ministry or to the pastors and apostles. It's given to every believer to make disciples. So from the Gospels, this is what Jesus did, and this is the heart of what Christianity or church is about, making disciples. Jesus commanded this in Matthew chapter 28 as the Great Commission. And how did Jesus make disciples? He called them, he spent time with them, he modeled to them, he demonstrated to them as an example, he taught them, and he shared his ministry with them. And at the end, send them to go and do with others what he did with them. So we need to follow his example and make disciples the same way. And then the last one is relational. The mission of God flows from the intimate relationship between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we have been created in the image of this relational God. God is a relational God, and he always desires relationship. Even when this relationship broke through sin, God came back time and time again to restore it. Ultimately, God reconciled us and creation to himself in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. With this primary relationship restored, the church is a loving community where we serve, pray, carry, and one another, where we kind and compassionate to one another, where we forgive one another, encourage one another, where we are hospitable, where we live in unity. And the missional church focuses on building relationships between people and God and amongst one another. There are so many scriptures that talk about one another. Be kind to one another. Encourage one another. Love one another. Forgive one another. And that is because we are a body. We need each other. We need one another. So before we end, I would just like to show you a video. But just before I show you the video, I would just like to ask you this question. Why are we still on earth? So I believe God created us to have relationship with us. His main purpose wasn't for us to be in ministry or to reach people. If that were the case, I don't know what Adam and Eve did, because there was no one to evangelize to or to disciple or teach or pray for. So God created us for relationship. But he does have another purpose for us in the earth, too, and that is for our light to shine and to reach people. Because if he didn't want us to do that, he would have raptured us out of here the moment we got saved and taken us to heaven and say, just spend time with me now. So as glorious as that is going to be, and we can enjoy a relationship with God now already, but he also wants us to shine our light in reaching people, in loving people, in being intentional, in taking people with us to heaven. Think how glorious that is going to be when you go into heaven one day and people come to you and say, thank you for sharing Jesus with me. Thank you for telling me about Jesus even when you knew I was going to reject you maybe. Thank you for not being under the fear of man, but fearing God and obeying God. And we need to be intentional in shining our light for the gospel of Jesus. So just watch the next video and then I'll end the session. So lastly, I'm just going to say, you know, that we should never feel condemned or guilty or go out from a motive of guilt. That is never God's intention. If you never share Jesus with anyone for the rest of your life, God will still love you in the exact same way. You'll still go to heaven if you're born again. But I also believe as we grow closer to him in our relationship and our fellowship, we won't help but have a heart for people and have a desire and a passion to reach out to people. Steve shared a beautiful testimony of how he got saved because somebody reached out to him. So love on people and be intentional in reaching out and witnessing to people. Any questions before we end? All good. Did it all make sense? One question. Yes, sir.
speaking about the church and the real work. Well, we have the church, and the real work is at the other side of the church, and that is outside there, and that is where we should spread the kingdom.
Amen.
Just a comment on it.
Very good comment. And Uncle John was just saying that Luke 10 is still relevant, and that the harvest is great, but the laborers are few, and we need to pray the Lord to send out those laborers into the harvest. And I believe the harvest is so ripe for multitudes of souls right now to come into the kingdom. And even though there's a lot of darkness in the world, I believe it's the best time to be alive. This is the most exciting, best time to be alive in the history of mankind. So I believe we are going to still see a lot of people get saved, and we're going to shine our lights, and God is going to use us in tremendous ways. Amen. Any other comments or questions? Yes.
That passage that we read was a long passage. One of the striking things that stuck out to me was right in the beginning, Jesus is talking, and he sends out 70 people, and he says, don't take with you. Now, in our day and age, a pastor sending us out on a mission, he'd probably make all the phone calls. He'd make sure that whoever he's sending out has got somewhere to go. But Jesus doesn't do this, and that's quite interesting. He sends him out like sheep amongst wolves. And I think that the point that he's trying to impress upon them is you have authority, but the power, as Julian Adams was saying, and as you're saying, is that the power comes from the Holy Spirit, and he was sending them out more to equip them to host the Holy Spirit. And that was almost their test, and it looks like they passed their test. So it's an encouragement to us. When we go out, know that we have authority, but the power, it comes from the Lord. And even every day, when we're working, when we're doing, you ask the question, why are we here? Is it relational? What is the purpose of us being here? And I think that one of the big purposes of us being here is that we have a body. We are the body. And that makes us legal participants. It's actually difficult for the Lord to work on the earth because he's given dominion to you and I. He's given authority to you and I. So I don't want to sidetrack you and go long on this, but remember that you've been given dominion and you've been given authority, and God has the power, and he backs you. He backs you all the way, and that's what he's done here with his 70.
Amen. Thank you, Struan. 30 seconds.
Praise the Lord. In this that question that they ask, why are we here? I'm just thinking about that. When Jesus met the 11 in Galilee, he told them, now all power, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And then he said, go ye therefore and make disciples in all the nations. So he left us so that we can be made disciples. And he said, all those who believe, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then he said, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. The most part that I love is the end, when he says, below, I am with you always until the end of the age. Though he is in heaven, he is with us. Thank you.
Thank you. We ended with some good preaching now, hey? Amen. So I'm just going to pray for us, and then please have a coffee and a muffin and enjoy some fellowship and enjoy the rest of your evening. Father, thank you for not just asking us to do things but also enabling us to do it. And thank you that you are always with us, Lord. Thank you that when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, Lord, it's for power to witness, and that the Holy Spirit shines and shows Jesus through us, Lord. And Lord, we want to flow even more in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We want to be led by your Holy Spirit in order to be a bigger blessing to people, in order to be more effectively in reaching out. And thank you, Lord, that you are more passionate about reaching people and saving the lost than we are. And Lord, we just want to go along with you and be on your mission and just flow with everything that you have for us. I thank you for everyone that is here tonight, Lord. I just speak and pray your blessing over them. I pray that they will hear even clearer from you, Lord, that they will experience your leading and your guidance in their everyday lives, and that they will be bold in stepping out, in giving people words, Lord, to word of knowledge, word of wisdom, prophesying, and that all of us collectively, Lord, as your church, as a missional healthy church, will see a great harvest of souls this year coming into your kingdom. I thank you for a great year of harvesting, Lord, and I thank you for many people coming into your kingdom and receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. We thank you for the privilege of being a part of what you want to do in the earth, Lord, and we make ourselves available. And Lord, whatever you have for us, we just want to flow with it and obey your instructions. We love you, Lord, and we bless you, and we just thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your unconditional love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You are highly favored and deeply loved of God. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Of the goodness of God.